Seekers, Malloy here on Air America Radio, on Nova M Radio. Well, it's been one of those days. Oh, my God, the testimony by Kevin Tillman and Jessica Lynch this morning, and the filing of articles of impeachment by Dennis Kucinich against deep vein thrombosis Cheney this afternoon. It's a wonder I didn't say hi, True Seekers. Welcome to WLS or something. No, this is the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a few minutes, we'll be chatting for a while with the author of Armed Madhouse, Greg Palast. Anyone who listens to this program knows who he is. Armed Madhouse came out in paperback within the past, today or a couple days? Very recently. We're going to chat about his book and major political events today. It is now available in bookstores everywhere, as they say, and at Amazon.com. A couple of insane items before we get to the deep vein madness tonight. The American Family Association is now blaming the shootings at Virginia Tech on lack of prayer and spankings. In a new video, this right-wing neo-Nazi fake Christian organization attributes the tragedy of Virginia Tech to, here's a list, a lack of prayer in school, a lack of the Bible in school, a lack of spanking kids, a lack of physical punishment in school, abortion, condoms, Bill Clinton, internet pornography, free speech, the entertainment industry, satanic music, and liberal culture in general. And you think fundamentalist Muslims are insane. Now, the American Family Association is not just posting this video on their website, they're also selling it. That's right. The video, which runs about 3 minutes, can be yours for what they call a donation of $5. Running time of the video, about 3 minutes. 3 minute tape, $5. Don't you want to resurrect Jesus so he can beat the hell out of these Pharisees? Huh? Incredible. Bill Clinton. Oh, you dirty dogs. You notice there's no blame at all in there put on the mental health system in this country, the lack thereof, the psychosis that this mass killer obviously was deeply immersed in. Why bother? Why bother, really? Speaking of insane, the Catholic Church is out yesterday, forcefully branding homosexual marriage as an evil, the Vatican's second highest ranking doctrinal official. This guy is it's Archbishop Angelo Amato, Secretary of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is what I believe Pope Benedict was before he became Pope. Anyway, this Archbishop branded homosexual marriage an evil and denounced abortion and euthanasia as forms of terrorism with the human face, his words. This is the latest in a string of speeches made by either Pope Benedict or other Vatican officials as the nation of Italy considers giving more rights to gays. Giving more rights to gays. You know, those weird people that you can see coming a mile away. You know, gays. The Archbishop listed abortion clinics as slaughterhouses of human beings. And he said parliaments of so-called civilized nations where laws contrary to the nature of the human being are being promulgated, such as the approval of marriage between people of the same sex, were also temples of evil. The church and Catholic politicians see the proposed law granting some rights to gay folk in Italy as being a Trojan horse that could lead to, dare I say it, gay marriage! Oh my God! Groups opposed to gay marriage and groups opposed to even the recognition of unmarried couples, be they hetero or homo, are planning a national rally in Rome next month. A huge turnout is expected because the church can mobilize hundreds of thousands of people at the drop of a condom. It could be a major embarrassment for the government of Italy that is trying its damnedest to cast off the Catholic Church and move into the 21st century, but good luck, guys. Today in Colorado, a radio talk show host by the name of Scott Eller Cortellew pled guilty to trolling for little girls in internet chat rooms. And Bob, who researched this for me, the Jefferson County, Colorado Office of Elections, Scott Eller Cortellew of Conifer, Colorado, is a registered Republican. This guy is 53. He pled guilty yesterday to felony charges of internet luring and attempted internet sexual exploitation of a child. He was arrested in January at his home in Conifer, Colorado, by Jefferson County authorities. It was the second time he had been arrested. He was first arrested at the radio station, KRCN Radio, in Fort Collins, following an investigation by Larimer County authorities. During the course of the Larimer County investigation, detectives learned that in August 2006, Cortellew had engaged in sexually graphic online conversations with someone he believed to be a 12-year-old girl. And the story goes on. Cortellew is a veteran Denver area journalist who has been on Denver radio station since 1978. He has been business editor at 850 AM KOA, did the business show at 760 KTLK The Zone, worked at KHOW, KMJI, KIMN, and also did some business reports for Channel 7 News. He has won various news awards from the Colorado Broadcasters Association, Associated Press, and the Radio Television News Directors Association. He is also a seducer of little tiny girls, and he is a registered Republican. And I realize that that is horrifically redundant. I can't wait until the day they catch Rush Limbaugh molesting or attempting to molest children. McCain, the madman, has hired former Defense Secretary James Schlesinger, who must be 120 years old, to be his advisor on energy and national security issues. Now, this is the guy who is a prominent global warming denier. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Schlesinger has gone out of his way to the point that this right-wing nutball from Oklahoma, Senator Jim Inhofe, the Senate's chief global warming, it's not happening, madman, stick his head up his rear end. Inhofe cited one of Schlesinger's op-eds in the Senate floor speech, and because it was so a piece that totally obfuscated the science, denied the science, pretended like nothing was happening. A United Nations environmental expert, Kilaparti Ramakrishna, said Schlesinger's viewpoints distort the facts, have obvious misrepresentations of climate change, science, and policy. Of course, Schlesinger's global warming position can be traced to his energy industry ties, and they are legion. McCain, why is McCain even bothering? to pretend like he's got a presidential campaign going. We're going to talk about Pat Tillman in a minute, the testimony that was delivered today by Kevin Tillman, and also the testimony delivered today by Jessica Lynch. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. You're sick in the night, thank you.
Speakers, it'll be our secret.
Past the hour. Last night, I made reference to Kafka's The Trial. It was regarding another innocent person who has been released from prison. This case, he had already been released after serving 20 or 25 years for a crime he didn't commit. In so many of these instances, it is not murder that the person is in prison for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, but it's usually a black man and it's usually rape, and the victim is usually white. Not usually, but a huge preponderance of these cases. The murder cases that have been found to have convicted the wrong man totally, completely, are in some instances based on DNA and sometimes not. Those reversals are often based on, finally, decent police work, usually conducted by journalism students or first-year law students who dedicate an entire semester to proving that someone is innocent. But I referenced the trial because my point was simply that it must be horrifying to be convicted of a crime that you know you did not commit, and realize that no one anywhere is going to listen to you. It doesn't make any difference. You are condemned to serving 20 years in prison. Your life has been effectively ended, and you know you didn't do anything. A modern-day equivalent of that, of course, are the people, some of the people, most of the people probably, who have been scooped up and are being held in not just our secret prisons, but also places like Guantanamo by the United States military under the firm control of Dick Cheney and the rest of these murderers, people who against whom no charges have been filed. They have no idea why they're there. Some of them have been held as long as 5 years in extreme conditions. So I got an email regarding that reference last night from Kay in San Francisco. She writes, "Hi, Mike and Kathy, I was just listening to the podcast of last night's program over lunch and heard you reference to Kafka's The Trial, the story of Joseph K., who is accused of committing a crime and told he must stand trial without ever learning the charges against him. I want to preface this by saying that although I have an MA in German language and literature, people far more intelligent than I am have researched and debated about Kafka's works for years, so please take what I'm about to say with that caveat. In one of my graduate seminars, we read Kafka's unfinished novel, The Castle. Maybe it was because we read it in the original language, I'm not sure, but I remember a big debate taking place in our class over Kafka's message, in which I definitely held the minority opinion. Most students were in agreement that Kafka was writing about the futility of resistance to those in authority, but a few of us saw it differently. As I read the story about Kay's attempts to penetrate the castle, the source of all authority, I was struck by how willing he was to simply accept and do what he was told. If I weren't on a short lunch break, or if I had a better memory, I'd name specific examples, but generally I'm referring to things like Kay being told, So-and-so is a very powerful man and will only meet with you between the hours of 4 and 6. K, the main character, would accept this and act accordingly and would be denied the meeting. As I read, I found myself wanting to shake K and ask him, why in the hell are you just accepting what they tell you? Why don't you challenge them? Ever since that seminar, the message I've taken from Kafka's works is, wake up and question authority. This is not a traditional interpretation, I know, but that's what I saw and continue to see in Kafka. And to me, this message is a stark reminder that the American people, including myself, have been acting as one of Kafka's protagonists, not because we're victims, but because we refuse to challenge those in authority who have led us down this path of destruction for ourselves and our country. As you ask almost every night, Mike, when do we finally say, enough? From Kay in San Francisco. We're the victims not because, or because we refuse to challenge those in authority. Dennis Kucinich today introduced three articles of impeachment as he refuses to be Kafkaesque in his approach to these murderous sons of bitches, and we will cover that a little bit later tonight.
Where have you been?
Coming up after this break, Greg Palast, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
My darling young one, I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard.
Before the hour, the complete title of Greg Palast's book, by the way, I think I've got this right, Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. Joining us now is Greg Palast. Have I got that right, Greg? Where's Greg? There's Greg.
Hey, there's me.
Have I got the title right?
Say it again.
Armed Madhouse, From from Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild.
You got it.
My God, that reads like a first chapter.
It's shorter than the old subtitle, which went on. What happens is I had to expand the book, Mike. That's why I had to change the subtitle, because the evil continued to roll on, and so I just had to thicken up the book. I think I'm putting Velcro on the back of the book, keep adding chapters as they do more impeachable offenses.
Oh, my God, is this not insane? It's just astonishing what's going on.
No.
Oh.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, okay.
It ain't astonishing. We've been following this for quite a while. They're quite true to form.
Okay.
Yeah. So I added, because I think that even though it's more, you have to know. So I added a whole new chapter to Armed Madhouse, which, by the way, today's the national launch, and I've added the theft of 2008, and because I'm tired of I reported on the theft of 2000 with the
right
wipeout of the black voters in Florida by Madam Harris, Kate Harris,
right,
calling black folks felons whose crime was voting while black.
That's true.
Then in 2004, there's a chapter in there, Kerry won, now get over it. And then, but I had to add the theft of 2008. I figure if I do it in advance, we could maybe stop it. And in fact, then I have to add an addendum so you don't get so depressed. That, what do I do? Is I have a You see, if they steal the election, you can steal it back. So I have a steal back your vote section. But it's not all about voting. I also have a new chapter called Busted, which is about, you know, when I was charged by Homeland Security with violating the anti-terror laws
right.
down in New Orleans.
You know, that had to be pretty thin ice for you. you know, you got to be careful with that. They can put you away for a long time, Greg, with no charge. I mean, this is the United States of America, 2007, under the Bush regime.
Yeah, the United States of Cheney. Well, actually, I'm laughing now, you know, but because obviously I haven't been measured for an orange suit. I'm not at the Mike Malloy wing at Guantanamo yet.
Not yet.
But it was really pretty scary at the time. And of course, but several things are scary. One, that they charged me and my producer with you know, terrorism. After, right. You know, I mean, these are guys who've been hunting 5 years for Osama, and they find Greg Palast. You know,
yeah. Oh my.
And then what was scarier is that, you know, I thought, oh my God, because some people thought I was arrested. No. They were looking for me. They charged me. They were looking for me. Now, Mike, I'm on television. BBC. These are the guys looking for Osama. They can't find me, right? I got a website, right?
Yeah, you're not hard to find. usually when we want to find you, it takes two phone calls.
Yeah, two. Then I said, oh my God, I won't be able to get on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was even scarier because I did get it on an airplane and got home. So, yeah. So, what they were mainly concerned about, of course, is what not national security, but political insecurity of what I was filming for BBC, and that was, of course, what right. really happened in New Orleans, how they drowned that city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the real thing, and you know, I mean, I'm taking pictures of this like aluminum Guantanamo that they've got there, where they've dumped. You know, they have 73,000 people still living in these aluminum prison cells.
Tin cans.
They're in aluminum cans, and a whole bunch of them were dumped in what is kindly called Cancer Alley.
And
that's the Exxon refinery, and they're stuck mm-hmm. in, they're 100 miles. You know, people, you know, you have to understand the tragedy, because it's not just where they are. People had jobs in New Orleans besides home.
Right.
They didn't allow them to go near their homes. They cannot. When I say they can't rebuild them, it's not just lack of money. They can't get permits. They're not allowed to because there's no even rules for building. They have no jobs, and they said, "Well, you're taking pictures of critical infrastructure." I said, "You mean critical infrastructure being a any Bush donor polluting facility, right?" Is it? Critical infrastructure. So, but I did note that if Osama really wanted the good, he doesn't use Greg Palast films anymore. He now uses Google Maps. He gets much better pictures.
That's how you have to do it. You know, the Gulf Coast, the Mississippi, New Orleans, Louisiana Gulf Coast tragedy. It's astonishing to me on a couple of levels. First of all, the lies that were told about by Bush, going to fix it up, going to take care of it. I don't mean his lies are astonishing. It's astonishing to me that this stuff continues. Every single issue, Bush just completely lies and forgets about it. But New Orleans, Jesus God, New Orleans.
Oh. Yeah, then I really shouldn't tell you what's in the book because you'll just hear. Mike Malloy, Harry Carey. First of all, I am astonished that you're astonished that he would lie.
Greg, I'm not astonished that he lies. The son of a bitch lies about everything. What I'm astonished about is that he gets away with it.
Ah. Well, in fact, here's what happened. I mean, I went down and I said, I worked on evacuation plans in the Long Island.
Right.
And we're into the very Long Island, New York, very rich area. And every police station has a copy of the plan. It's 6 volumes long. And there's no provision, by the way, for letting people float face down in a hurricane.
No, that's just in the South.
Right. That's only when you have poor black survivors. You know what you call the hurricane survivors? The White House calls them
white people.
No, the survivors that aren't allowed back in the city. They're called Democrats.
Oh, they're called Democrats. I see.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So they're. So what happened was, is I said, where's the evacuation plan? You know, it looks like where is it? I mean, you know, people say bad evacuation. I said, what evacuation plan? I'd like to see it.
Right.
I call FEMA. I kid you not. We can't find it. You can't find the evacuation plan? They couldn't locate it. Give me a copy. And then they want to say it was confidential. How can you have a confidential evacuation? What?
Well, that's so Osama bin Laden. Right, it's so bin Laden doesn't get a hold of it.
Yeah, right. What if he's trapped in New Orleans? He might be able to get out.
Yeah.
Alive. You know, we don't want that. So, and then I find out that there was an evacuation plan drafted by a company called Innovative Emergency Management. And I go to Innovative in Baton Rouge. I say, so where's the plan? We can't find it. Is it wet? Is it washed away? What? You know, seriously. I mean, I go in there with my cameras. And they're also FEMA contractors. This is a national security issue. And then they say, but I said, have you had any experience evacuating any cities? They got a $1 million contract. Every other city in America has its own plan. Not New Orleans. It was contracted out by the Bush boys.
Innovative Emergency Management?
Yes, Innovative Emergency Management. And these guys...
God, that's such a catchy name.
Yeah, and so I said, that's cool name. What's your experience? Lots of experience. Name a city you've planned for the evacuation of. We couldn't think of any. I said, will this sheet help you? This looks like your experience. 3 pages of endless donations to Republican candidates.
There you go.
There you go. So they refused to give up a plan. I had a little birdie in FEMA who finally got me the draft plan, which came out a year before the hurricane. And the whole plan was get in your car and drive like hell.
Yes.
Well, about 127,000 people in New Orleans, about a fourth of the city, don't have cars.
Don't have cars. Well, then there you go. That's because they just wouldn't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They're Democrats. There you go. Yeah,
yeah, right, exactly. Like Goristas, you know, didn't want to add to global warming.
There you go.
And so now, did the White House know about this? Yeah.
Oh, they did? No. Well, there's no proof of that.
Yeah, well, I talked to the head of the Hurricane Center at LSU. You know, this is like the number one hurricane expert in America, guys.
Yeah.
Dr. Professor Von Heerden from South Africa. And I said, and he said, yeah, he informed the White House. I said, anything else you informed the White House of? And by the way, LSU was so panicked before the hurricane, before any hurricane. They said, we offered a plan to the White House that would get the people out with the buses and the whole thing. And they were told back off because the contractor didn't like their meddling. And then they contacted the White House. They said, you know, we've got another problem here, which is that the levees are too short, 18 inches too short. And they called, and the LSU, the Louisiana State, was so panicked that they called the White House itself. They said, you got this is 2 years before the hurricane. Yeah. And they were told, the Army Corps is busy right now. They're building bridges and then blowing them up in Mesopotamia, right?
Right.
And, you know, when they get back from Baghdad, give them a call, right?
Jesus.
And then here's the ugly one. Here's the ugly one, which is that, so I said, yeah, but, you know, what, you couldn't get the people, you could still, you know, there's still emergency evacuation, I mean, still helicopter people out, whatever. He said, look, about 20 hours before the levees broke, the White House knew that the levees were breaking, and we didn't know. The Hurricane Katrina never hit New Orleans, it went east.
Right.
What they didn't know was that the storm surge had begun to crack the levee and were about to explode, and the White House didn't warn the state.
And it was at that point that Bush had to go to the bathroom. Hold on, Greg. We got to take a break here. We'll come right back. We're talking with Greg Palast, author of Our Madhouse, with a very long subtitle, and whose book is now out in paperback with an awful lot added to it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Oh, God, hell is waiting for you, Bush. We're talking to Greg Palast, whose book, Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild, is now out in paperback. Greg, we only have about 7 minutes left here. I've got so much ground to cover tonight. I'm going to ask you to come back again. But I want to, when you hear that little clip that we just played, I don't think anyone ever anticipated the levees would break coming out of Bush's mouth. Is there even a remote possibility that, that this man was kept out of the loop, or he's because of his stupidity, or is there any chance that, I don't think so, but what do you think? Is Greg there? Oh, no. We lost Greg.
Off to Gitmo already.
They came and got him while we were on the phone?
Now that's evil.
All right. It looks like I think he was talking with us on his cell phone. This may be him coming, calling back. Do-do-do-do-do. Greg Palast. Go, you know, get his book. In this moment, go to Amazon.com and you'll find it. Our Madhouse. Oh, there's something ringing. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that fun? What else is going on tonight here on the Molloy program on Air France or wherever we are? Do we have Greg back? Huh?
Here we are.
There's Greg. I thought they'd come and gotten you.
I hate when Cheney does that.
I know. It's just so irritating.
He's gotta stop
it. Is there a chance? What I was asking you before we dropped the call, I don't know if you heard the little clip that Kathy played coming back from that break where Bush says, I don't think anyone could have anticipated a breach in the levees. Do you believe that there's any possibility that Bush has been kept out of any loops? In other words, is anything that he said that you and I and the rest of America knows is a lie, could it be the truth that he was just so out of touch with reality? This is the Ronald Reagan question.
You know what? Let's look at what happened. Louisiana was a Republican state turning Democratic. The problem was washed away. Mission accomplished. Iraq. If you read the Iraq section of the book, it is about Operation Iraqi Liberation, OIL. They really did call that. I show that in the book. That's not an urban myth. And we have the original plans that, you know, for the nutcases among your listeners who think there was a secret plan for the oil fields of Iraq, that, you know, they are wrong, Mike. There were two plans, and they're both there, and it was about maintaining the price, well, not getting it, bringing it back to fill up that SUV that Hummer you've got, Mike, but to to keep the price up.
Right.
When Bill Clinton was president, the price of oil was $20 a barrel. Now it's 50. It's mission accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, when, you know, people say it goofed up, and, you know, look, and all they have to do is make sure that they don't hear from Mike Molloy or Greg Palast. And by the way, you know, I do have a new reader that I'm very proud to add to my list of subscribers at gregpalast.com, one of my early reviews of Our Madhouse.
And pray tell, who is that?
Carl Rove. I kid you not. And I can't, Mike, I'm not making this up. The House Judiciary Committee, you know, released a bunch of emails from Rove and his minions under subpoena, and the one there were several about that British reporter, Greg Palast.
But you're an American.
I'm American, and Rove is un-American, and now let's get that straight. And I just report for BBC because I'm in exile. But what he, but on February 7th, just a few weeks ago, his team had this whole gloating thing that said no one has picked up the investigation national media of this British reporter, and they attached a PDF, a part of Our Madhouse. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
And one of the things that, and by the way, therefore, Mike, you're now in trouble because you've broken the Rovo mayor here.
That's true. I'm on the list, too.
And the, you know, but one of the things that they're really concerned about is what I wrote about the prosecutors, which is already in the book. Because what they're particularly incensed and concerned about is that not only did they fire 8 honest prosecutors on December 7th, but it's who they put in to replace them. The only thing worse than firing an honest prosecutor is putting in a crooked one. And what I have in the book, you will see Carl Rove's emails, because he sent me his emails. Didn't mean to. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He misaddressed some stuff. I got them. And it included the scheme, of course, to wipe out hundreds of thousands of Democratic voters in the 2004 election. They did. A lot, you know, a big hunk of them soldiers sent overseas. You know, we've discussed this. But what we haven't discussed before in the new edition of the book is who was in charge of that wipeout of the voters for Roe, his right-hand henchman, a guy named Tim Griffin. And you know what his job is today, Mr. Griffin?
I don't.
On December 7th, he was named the new prosecutor for Arkansas. So the perpetrator. Now
that Griffin.
Now, when BBC was going to put out this information, we could only use people's private emails, Roe's private emails,
right,
if we had evidence of criminality. So we went to several attorneys, including voting rights attorney Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who said, let me explain what you found here, Greg,
mm-hmm,
and BBC, is this is a crime. It is a go-to-jail, breaking rocks on a chain gang crime to target voters that you know are legal voters, and they challenge their right to vote, particularly soldiers who sent in absentee ballots. They challenged them because they weren't voting from their home address. No kidding, George.
So when is that, George?
And they did this, and that's against the law. But so now the perpetrator is the prosecutor. But Roe is gloating to say, I put this on the top of the BBC Nightly News. I got to tell you, the rest of the world is retching over this stuff. It's just, you can hear the gagging sounds all over Europe and Latin America as they hear these reports. But, you know, Roe is gloating. No one reads Iron Man, that's
nobody,
British reporter.
Nobody pays any attention to it in this country, but I think that's changing.
I got to say, you know, I hope people do recognize how incredible Mike Malloy's been. He's, like, been at the first, always at the front line, busting through the electronic Berlin Wall, bringing these reports.
Well,
I don't know if you're...
Greg, no, I totally defer to you. I can't tell you how much of your stuff I've used over the past 5 years. Greg, we have to leave it there. We need to talk again. Maybe this week coming, because I would like to... I'll have Kathy get in touch with you. We need to get you back on the program, all right?
You got me, Mike.
All right, Greg. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Greg Pallas, the book is Armed Madhouse, in paperback with lots of additional copy. Get a copy. Welcome back. It's 6:30 past the hour. Today, Dennis Kucinich introduced articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney at the press conference when he announced this. He quoted from the Declaration of Independence, the last part of the first paragraph. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. He went on to say, I just want to quote a little bit here what he said, because I believe the vice president's conduct of office has been destructive to the founding purposes of our nation, today I have introduced House Resolution 333, Articles of Impeachment relating to Vice President Richard B. Cheney. I do so in defense of the rights of the American people to have a government that is honest and peaceful. It became obvious to me that this vice president, who is the driving force for taking the United States into a war against Iraq under false pretenses, is once again rattling the sabers of war against Iran with the same intent to drive America into another war, again based on false pretenses. Let me cite from the articles of impeachment that were introduced this afternoon, Article 1, that Richard Cheney had purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens in the Congress of the United States by fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction to justify the use of the United States Armed Forces against the nation of Iraq in a manner damaging to our national security. That despite all evidence to the contrary, the Vice President actively and systematically sought to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States about an alleged threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. That preceding the March 2003 invasion of Iraq, the Vice President was fully informed that no legitimate evidence existed of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The Vice President pressured the intelligence community to change their findings to enable the deception of the citizens and the Congress of the United States. That in this, the Vice President subverted the national security interests of the United States by setting the stage for the loss of more than 3,300 United States service members and the loss of 650,000 Iraqi citizens since the United States invasion, the loss of approximately $500 billion in war costs, which has increased our federal debt, the loss of military readiness within the United States Armed Services through an overextension and lack of training and lack of equipment, and the loss of United States credibility in the world affairs and decades of likely blowback created by the invasion of Iraq. That with respect to Article 2, Richard Cheney manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States about an alleged relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda in order to justify the use of United States armed forces against the nation of Iraq in a manner damaging to our national security. Preceding the March 2003 invasion of Iraq, the Vice President was fully informed that no credible evidence existed of a working relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, a fact articulated in several official documents. With respect to Article 3, that in his conduct, while Vice President of the United States Richard Cheney openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran, absent any real threat to the United States, and has done so with the United States' proven capability to carry out such threats, thus undermining the national security interests of the United States. That despite no evidence that Iran has the intention or the capability of attacking the United States, and despite the turmoil created by the United States' invasion of Iraq, the Vice President has openly threatened aggression against Iran. These articles of impeachment are not brought forth lightly. I've carefully weighed the options available to members of Congress and found this path the path that is the most important to take. The justifications used to lead our nation to war have unquestionably been disproved. Brave soldiers and innocent civilians have lost their lives in a war the United States should never have initiated. The weight of the lies used to lead us into war has grown heavier with each death. Now is the time for Congress to examine the actions that led us into this war, just as we must work to bring the troops home. This resolution is a very serious matter, and I will urge the Committee on Judiciary to investigate and carefully consider this resolution. And there's more. You can find it online if you'd like to. I will be very curious now to observe either the constitutional determination of the Democratic Party leadership or the Democratic Party leadership's refusal to do what the Constitution requires and remove these sons of bitches from office. And starting with Dick Cheney is fine with me. And the reason behind that, of course, is to make sure that Cheney is gone. If Bush is gone, Cheney becomes president. Wouldn't that be a kick in the groin? We'll see what happens. Let's see what happens. Rudolph Giuliani is going insane. He's now warning that if a Democrat is elected president in 2008, America will be at risk for another terrorist attack on the scale of September 11, 2001. But if a Republican is elected, especially if it's him, terrorist attacks can be anticipated and stopped. Good God. After his speech to the Rockingham County, this is in New Hampshire, Rockingham County Lincoln Day dinner, Roger Simon, the reporter here, asked him about his statement about Democrats, and Giuliani said flatly, "America will be safer with a Republican president." Oh my God! You know, between Giuliani, I mean, that's fine. Keep going. Keep going, Rudy. Keep going, McCain. God, whatever happens, don't bow out. Please don't. Let America see what the Republican Party is made of. Nutcases, religious fanatics. This is like the party of Osama bin Laden or something. It's just... shouldn't be taken very seriously. An Army Ranger who was with Pat Tillman when the former Arizona Cardinals football star was cut down by so-called friendly fire in Afghanistan said today that a commanding officer had ordered him to keep quiet about what happened. Army Specialist Brian O'Neill, who was also a Ranger, told a congressional hearing that when he got the chance to talk to Tillman's brother, who had been in a nearby convoy on the fateful day, quote, "I was ordered not to tell him what happened," end quote. Henry Waxman said, "You were ordered not to tell him?" O'Neill, who was dressed in his Army uniform, answered, "Roger that, sir." Now, his family has been fighting for how long? 3 years to get the truth out, because they knew that this filthy, disgusting Bush crime family was lying. And by the way, the committee had wanted to hear from a Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger, 3-star general, who was in charge of Army Special Ops and came under the heaviest criticism from military investigators for putting out the lies about Pat Tillman's death. And guess what Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger did? He had his attorney send Henry Waxman a letter last week saying that if Kinzinger was called to testify, he would refuse to answer questions, citing his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. How about that? These filthy, cowardly, lying sons of bitches. A 3-star general who doesn't have the courage. How would you like to have served under his command? Doesn't have the courage to go before Henry Waxman's committee and tell the freaking truth, huh? When we come back after this break, we're going to play a bit of sound for you from that hearing. Kevin Tillman's testimony describing his brother's death and the cover-ups and the deliberate lies the military wove to cover up that death. And then a bit of testimony from Private First Class Jessica Lynch. I can't believe this is my country that this is happening to. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You freaking liar. You freaking liar.
The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
You've lied to us, you freaking liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie, lie, lie. You freaking liar.
I understand the anguish that some feel about the death that takes place. But I grieve for every death.
It's 21 past the hour. All right, from the House Oversight Committee hearing today on the accuracy of battlefield information. I guess that was the official title of this hearing. I want you to listen here to Kevin Tillman. This is after the introduction. He's into his testimony, and here he describes his brother's death. All right, we'll have it here in just a second.
To our family and friends, it was a devastating loss. To the nation, it was a moment of disorientation. To the military, it was a nightmare. But to others within the government, it appears to have been an opportunity. Immediately after Pat's death, our family was told that he was shot in the head by the enemy in a fierce firefight outside a narrow canyon. In the days leading up to Pat's memorial service, media accounts, based on information provided by the Army and the White House, were wreathed in a patriotic glow and became more dramatic in tone. A terrible tragedy that might have further undermined support for the war in Iraq was transformed into an inspirational message that served instead to support the nation's foreign policy wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
He then goes on to talk about further lies and cover-ups. Kevin Tillman.
The facts of this case clearly show Pat and the Afghan soldier were killed by fellow members of his platoon, as well as the wounded soldiers on the hillside, and they knew this immediately. Revealing that Pat's death was a fratricide would have been yet another political disaster during a month already swollen with political disasters, and a brutal truth that the American public would undoubtedly find unacceptable. So the facts needed to be suppressed. An alternative narrative had to be constructed. This freshly manufactured narrative was then distributed to the American public. And we believe the strategy had the intended effect. It shifted the focus from the grotesque torture at Abu Ghraib and a downward spiral of an illegal act of aggression to a great American who died a hero's death.
Left out of that was what was in the written transcript. The autopsy, he also said crucial evidence was destroyed, including Pat's uniform, equipment, and notebook. The autopsy was not done according to regulation, and the field hospital report was falsified. And then he said this freshly manufactured narrative was distributed to the American public. Finally, Kevin Tillman details the deliberate lies the military wove to cover up Pat Tillman's death.
Writing up a field hospital report stating that Pat was, quote, transferred to intensive care unit for continued CPR after most of his head had been taken off by multiple 5.56 rounds is not misleading. Stating that a giant rectangle bruise covering his chest that sits exactly where the armor plate that protects you from bullets is being, quote, consistent with paddle marks is not misleading. These are deliberate and calculated lies. Delivering false information at a nationally televised memorial service is not an error in judgment. Discarding an investigation that does not fit a preordained conclusion is not an error in judgment. These are deliberate acts of deceit.
Now, when he talks about the paddle marks, he's talking about the defibrillator that the Army claims they attempted to that they used to restart Pat Tillman's heart. If you heard any of this today, and then the testimony from Pat Tillman's mother, I don't see how, because I couldn't understand how I could sit there and listen to this without just flying into an uncontrollable rage. Somehow I did it. I just sat there and listened to Kevin Tillman's testimony. And then listen to Jessica Lynch's testimony. I guess the only way I was able to do it was because Kathy and Molly were gone. They were off at a little art class that Molly goes to. And I had the house to myself so I could scream. And then immediately after shrieking and screaming, which is one of the reasons my voice sounds a little bit weird tonight, it was time to go take my daily four-mile walk into the woods and down the trail and so on and so forth, where I could scream some more. I don't know how much we are supposed to, we being the American public, are supposed to deal with before something less than orderly and peaceful occurs in this country. I really don't know. I mean, I'm at a loss. I know I'm not alone. I know you're not alone. And yet, it's business as usual. Stock market keeps setting records, even though American middle class is being destroyed. The news is broadcast every night. Marines and soldiers continue to die. I can't get my mind around this. Can you?
'Cause I saw it.
Sometimes I'm happy. You know, this is...
But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Better speak to the powers that be today. Hey, Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? You can take your revenge, but you'll still feel bad.
Jessica Lynch, PFC, United States Army, was badly injured and then sexually assaulted after her supply truck got stuck in the sand near Al-Nasiriyah. The convoy was attacked by Iraqi insurgents. Most of the other troops attacked in her convoy were killed. She woke up in the hospital days later. And unknown to her, the military had manufactured a story and turned her into a hero.
At my parents' home in Work County, West Virginia, it was understaged by media, all repeating the story of the little girl Rambo from the hills of West Virginia who went down fighting. It was not true. I have repeatedly said when asked that if the stories about me helped inspire our troops and rally a nation, then perhaps there was some good. However, I'm still confused as to why they chose to lie and try to make me a legend when the real heroes of my fellow soldiers that day were legendary. Bottom line is the American people are capable of determining their own ideals for heroes, and they don't need to be told elaborate lies. I had the good fortune and opportunity to come home and to tell the truth. Many soldiers, like Pat Tillman, they did not have that opportunity. The truth of war is not always easy. The truth is always more heroic than the hype.
Yeah. There are two perpetrators here, of course, two institutions, the Bush crime family and American media. The chief perpetrator in media regarding both these stories, of course, it goes without saying, was anything connected to Fox News Channel. But the lies were picked up by just about every aspect of media, from newspapers to magazines to online articles to television to radio and to the filthy pig bastards in right-wing talk radio who kept perpetuating and perpetrating the lies and the deceit that was being carried out by the United States Department of Defense. Fool me once, shame on you. The argument can be made that at the beginning, who among us back in the world had any idea what the truth was regarding Jessica Lynch or Pat Tillman? But it didn't take long for the truth to start to out. And what happened to the people who were trying to tell the truth? How were they vilified by right-wing talk monsters and Fox News Channel and, to a lesser extent, CNN, MSNBC, and the over-the-air channels? How many times were people who were trying to tell the truth made fun of, lied about, disparaged, denigrated? How many people who have tried to get the truth out about the attack on this country on September 11, 2001 have been lied about, denigrated, disparaged, reduced, cast aside, called conspiracy nuts? You know, for people who just utterly and absolutely and totally and completely refuse to even entertain the idea that this filthy Bush administration had a hand in the attacks on this country on September 11, 2001. All I can say to you is that, I don't care how educated you are or what your lack of education is, it doesn't matter. You are so deeply, deeply protected. Your mind could not handle even entertaining the idea that these murderous sons of bitches who run this country had something, more than something, to do with the attack on September 11th. What is it? What is it going to take to wake some people in this country up? Well, seriously, what's it going to take? When you have Jessica Lynch and Kevin Tillman sitting there today and once again revealing the utter and absolute lies that this administration tells, every aspect of this administration, from regulatory agencies to the Justice Department to the Defense Department to the State Department to the Office of the President and the Vice President, every single filthy word that comes out of their mouths is a lie. All of it. Everything. I'll say it again. I challenge any Republican, any right-winger, any neocon, any conservative, anybody in this country who supports these pigs to tell me one single thing this administration has not lied about. One thing, just one. And conversely, present one thing to this audience that this filthy administration has done that benefits this country. Just one. The answer to both challenges is nothing. It's incredible. It's just incredible. But watching Jessica Lynch and watching Kevin Tillman and then Kevin and Pat Tillman's mother sitting there in front of a congressional committee trying desperately. Why were they there today? Simply because they have wanted to know the truth in the Tillman situation and expose the truth in the Jessica Lynch situation. That's all. That's all they wanted. That's all any of these families have ever wanted. Any family in America that has a relative, a son, a daughter, a father who's in this killing zone created by George Bush and Dick Cheney. That's all they've ever wanted is the truth. And that is what has been denied them. The horror perpetrated by the Bush crime family, taking this nation into an unprovoked war. And the resultant deaths, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of deaths. And no sense, none, zero, on the parts of any of these monsters that anything is wrong. What's it going to take? My God, what's it going to take? So today there sat Jessica Lynch and Kevin Tillman trying desperately to get the truth out. Desperately. And the filthy, cowardly, piggish three-star general. Oh, you cowardly dog. You cowardly dog. Who refused to come in and testify. Who says that before he would come in and testify, he would take the Fifth Amendment. Oh, my God. Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger, retired three-star general. Are you enjoying your pension, you lard bastard, you? Oh, you filthy man, you filthy man. If he's called to testify, he'll refuse to answer questions citing his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. What do you have to incriminate yourself with? You miserable son of a... all of these people, is there anybody, is there an ounce, is there a cup of honor among all of these people, civilian or military, who continue this? Is there even a tiny bit of honor? And as Kevin Tillman pointed out today, the Pat Tillman story was pushed, insanely pushed, just at the time that Seymour Hersh and others were revealing what was going on at Abu Ghraib. And who got put on the rack? What general got put on the rack for that? Nobody. Oh, well, there's a couple of bad apples, that's all. What did the filthy, filthy, disgusting Limbaugh say? Well, look at those pictures. That's fraternity party pranks. So there they sat today. Jessica Lynch, and I, you know, I, the camera was right on her face, and I looked at her big eyes. I looked at the just what to me appeared to be just an utter sense of shock. I watched her walk up to the witness table on a leg that is still bad. I watched Kevin Tillman sitting there with a jawline that I thought he was just, that his jaw was going to break, just set in concrete. And then I watched Kevin and Pat Tillman's mother. Well, she sat there, Mary Tillman. I don't know. We'll be back after the break.
When their beliefs ain't really what they believe, try to deny the indivisible, because they think we're fools, so foolable. I try not to laugh, the man is laughable. Boom time for Wall Street. They want you to believe the unbelievable. They say we should accept the unacceptable.
The pious and the hip.
So hit the critical. High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors.
For the sake of peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage and weaponry.
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
It's about 9 before the hour. Let's take some phone calls here because a lot of folks have been holding on a long time. Virginia is calling from Alameda, California. Virginia, welcome to the program.
How are you, sweetie? I hear you in fine form again today. How's it been?
Hey, I'm just hanging on with all 10 fingernails.
You need to, because it's only going to get a little bit worse before it gets better, Mike. That's just the way it's going to be. That was a good show on you know, the whole Greg that you just palace that you just had on, uh-huh. And just keep on that little theme of these madmen and weapons. I just found out that Blackwater is trying to establish mercenary camps here in the U.S. and they're starting here in California. I mean, besides in South Carolina, where they come from, they're trying to start one here in near San Diego. And while I'm listening to this program, you know what I found out?
What?
The guy who's the head of Homeland Security in California.
Uh-huh.
His name is Bertelli. He was a Blackwater lobbyist who was most responsible for making sure they didn't get held liable for all the criminal acts they commit out there. That's the head of our Homeland Security. Can you explain how these things happen? Have we got a little PBS California connected and whatever, and I never hear of anything like this until I've got Democracy Now, of course. And so you should check out this guy, Jeremy Scahill. There's a new bestseller now. It's Blackwater, The Rise of America's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. He's going to be doing a tour. I'm going to try and catch him over here in Oakland. And folks ought to check out stopblackwater.net and citizensoversight.org. And here's how they talk about acting locally and finding these global sickening things. This was found out by a citizen oversight group, that their thing is to check out, you know, development and environmental impact and stuff and, you know, equality and all this
right,
and that.
Right.
So they're doing this little thing and they're in San Diego and, you know, somebody in San Diego is just checking out their little planning board. And it's a little town called Potrero outside of San Diego. And the Condor is coming back. And here are these guys in this, like, really flammable area with growth, you know, older growth and everything
right.
like that out there. They want to have a half-acre armory full of weapons. That's bigger than the biggest armory in New York State.
Oh,
just
my God.
Private for a private mercenary army and have like 300 people a month training there.
Hey, outsourcing is the raison d'etre of the Bush crime family, outsourcing everything so it can be turned into profit centers, not into centers of effective management, but profit centers.
Well,
and Blackwater is merely one example, a hideous one, of outsourcing the United States military.
These are people we got to watch out
it's
for,
horrifying.
Mike. It means
yeah.
that they're trying to start these. And also, I found out that Blackwater's donated tons of money to those Jesus Camp people.
Oh, sure. That's where
so this
most
is
of that,
like a Christian Republican army to go fight a Rand Republican Muslim army?
No.
A Christian Republican army
to fight normal people here in the United
well,
States.
Well, yeah, starting here because they're going to turn them on us. We can't let these things. When are Democrats going to say something about private militias?
Well, I'm just wondering when the American public is going to say things about private militias. Thanks, Virginia. I appreciate your call. Our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Marianne, wrote in regarding Jessica Lynch's story. Mike, the BBC was reporting Jessica Lynch's story as it was happening, including interviews with the Iraqi doctor who treated her. All of the Iraqis at the hospital were astounded to find a slight, small girl who looked all 15 years old being a, quote, soldier, end quote. Within days, that story had morphed into the Rambo myth that even Bart Cop repeated. How could the news agencies not have realized that this was made up from whole cloth, especially as the BBC reported pretty much most of the relevant facts within the first couple of days after Lynch's convoy had been attacked? They were all behind the lies of this criminal war. And that's the part, you know, I mentioned that today at my website. The co-conspiracy between this filthy administration and this filthy news media that we have, the lead up to this war, the attitude of American journalists. I realize there have been something like 70 or 80 global journalists killed in this war, but the attitude of the journalists back home here, not even journalists, but corporate thugs who sit behind their desks or who write this garbage for consumption by the American people. The conspiracy here to keep us either misinformed, ill-informed, or not informed at all on the part of our news media is just criminal. It's just criminal. But when you have a corrupt administration, corrupted to the point that this one is, and an ineffective media, ineffective to the point that ours is, that's a recipe for disaster, because nobody in this country, unless you work your ass off to find the information, will find the information. And how many people whose intentions are honorable simply don't have the time to sit in front of a computer all day or to listen to the BBC or to do the research that we do on this program, and can only get their news from listening to so-called newscasts, little snatches and bits during the day? How many Americans are so grossly ill-informed because of this filthy, disgusting, goddamn media that is not worth a damn? So here we sit. Here we sit tonight. Did you happen to see on the network news tonight that Dennis Kucinich has filed articles of impeachment against this rat bastard Cheney? No, you didn't. about 7 past the hour. A couple of emails here, then back to your phone calls. This is from Randy, who listens in Seoul, South Korea, or Korea. He writes, have you noticed that every time Bush says that progress is being made in Iraq, the next day or even the next few hours, there's a horrendous attack that kills more innocent Iraqis as well as the occupying American soldiers? Has anyone ever considered that there is a correlation between attacks and Bush's delusional happy talk? The death toll is 3,333 today as of this posting. Randy in Seoul, Korea. This is from Orion regarding Blackwater. Orion writes, the Blackwater mercenaries will be in charge when our country suffers another, quote, terrorist attack, end quote. After all our National Guard will be in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Our military will be gone, and those who return won't be in any shape to defend us. Think about it. The government needs to disarm the people like they did in New Orleans. Expect Blackwater thugs to visit us when the shoe falls. From William in Hollywood, Mike, I know this is fantasy world. However, wouldn't you think, in light of all that is wrong, that just for one lousy week, the media, news media, would take all the truth and just air it 24/7 and let the cards fall where they may? The nation would be in a state of shock, but just maybe we would all realize what crimes have been committed. Just a dream, but wouldn't it be nice? On the other hand, how horrid. American Idol would have to wait. Yeah, can you imagine that, Kathy? Just 24/7, all these talking heads on CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, and even the networks, just all of a sudden, they said, okay, here, handle this. From Tim in Indiana, founding Nova M member, did you know that as soon as Mrs. Tillman started to testify, Man or Monkey suddenly remembered he had to tell the nation something and gave a press conference, which the few media organizations that were carrying the Tillman testimony cut away from to carry live. What was his vital message? Just more threats to the Democrats about his veto was bigger than theirs. Tim in Indiana. Yeah, I didn't know that because, you know, I put it on C-SPAN 3 today and watched as much as I could. I'm to the point now where I will flip on CNN or MSNBC periodically during the day and sit there for about a minute to see what the talking heads are talking about and also to read the scroll going across the bottom. And then I bail out. There's nothing there. You know, fires and the bombings and you know, it's more like police blotter stuff on a global scale. If I really want news, then I'll go to BBC reporting at, I guess it's around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I would assume it's a live BBC evening newscast. Occasionally CNN International, if they're not into, pro-American propaganda, will have a decent newscast at noon on CNN. You can, the CNN picks up CNNI for a newscast. And then in the evening, I'll watch a bit of, the guy on NBC, who is that, Kathy? Brian Williams. Just to see what the lead stories are from NBC's perspective. And then a half an hour later, that's the way it works here in Atlanta, I'll flip over to ABC and see what the ABC considers to be the top stories. And then I'm out of there. I stick now almost exclusively to the Internet, where there are global news sources available, but also the real difficult scut work being done by the bloggers, by online investigative reporters. I'm just so thoroughly disgusted and pissed off at media in this country, news media, for their complicitness. Is that a word? In not just this attack and occupation of Iraq, attack on and occupation of Iraq, but also the willingness of these bastards to, with the truth out there all over the place, just you know, not calling for the impeachment of these sons of bitches, not calling for justice, just reporting their tacky ass news as if, oh, okay, yawn. Yeah, the truth is out there. We're in a war because of lies. And what does NBC do? Nothing. Why should they? They're making a fortune on this war through General Electric, their parent corporation. They're making a fortune. War is very good for the armaments industry, the chemical industry, I don't know, just on and on and on. There's so many industries that just energy that just make a fortune when there's a war. Jesus, God, they love it. Death and destruction. Oh, well, that, you know, we've lost 3,300 Americans, but they're fighting for democracy and freedom and God and mom and the apple pie and what else? Oh, yeah, the flag and from Waimea. Waimea. If the general is threatened to take the fifth, excellent. Call him. Let him take the fifth. Then the senators should verbally scourge them. Do a McCarthy on them. Sir, have you at long last no honor? In this matter and elsewhere, heap vituperation on them. Humiliate them publicly. The troops won't follow such crooked, cowardly, dishonorable leaders. There's no reason at all to be polite with thugs. There's no need to do the cowardly or to do the cowering that Cheney's lawyer did. It was my fault for being in the way of Mr. Cheney's shotgun fire. Yeah, I guess you can't. I don't know. Can you force people to testify? You can hold them in contempt of Congress, I guess. And Russ in Taiwan writes, "Hi, Mike. As you know, impeachment doesn't necessarily mean removal from office, but can range to that extreme. In the middle are various levels of muzzling." Yeah, impeaching Cheney, just to put the filthy pig, maybe that would cause his deep leg thrombosis to start itching. Oh, man. 13 past the hour, let's do some phone calls here. Perrin is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Perrin.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Thank
how
you.
Are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I am just appalled after hearing about Gonzalez, and I followed the Griffin story that Greg Palast talked to you about.
Right, the Arkansas
right.
Federal
and,
Attorney.
And that got me onto this bigger thing, and I actually am a person who called the media. I call the media all the time. I call NPR. I call editors and senior editors. I call management, Mike, of these places. I find out who they are, and people can call them. Their names are on list. If you hear a reporter who doesn't do a story, and I applaud them for that, by the way, at least there's some transparency. But my bigger issue is there are pro-mercury, pro-lead, pro-arsenic people who were appointed by this pig at Health and Human Services.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, don't forget Gail, whatever her...
Gail Norton in the Interior.
Yeah, she was a lobbyist for the lead industry.
Right, a lobbyist for the lead industry, because God knows we need more lead in our food.
We do.
And I'm just saying that's an Interior. I'm calling you from San Francisco. I read in the San Francisco paper yesterday about FEMA. There's this guy named Paulison. It's not just my heck of a job, Michael Brown. It's this guy, Paulison. We talk about one-bid contracts.
Right.
That weren't competitive. How about no-bid contracts, Mike?
Yeah.
How about somebody not even applying for a contract who doesn't even have a company or people down there in New Orleans who gets a bid for a contract and wins it? In other words, they didn't even compete, and they get a $1 million contract who they happen to be Republican, big-time Republican contributors. And it's not in the media. I keep on calling people, Mike, and I say, if you've got a cronycopia, that's my invented word, a cronycopia, how many dots do you have to have before you start seeing a pattern in connect the dot? And it's as you brought up and Greg Palast brought up, it's every single department. And this guy, by the way, you can Google this, the LA Times today, a reporter by the name of Tom Hamburger, is talking about this obscure office in the federal government called the OSC, and I don't know if they're going to be up to the task.
Well, I'll tell you what, Perrin, I've got a break here, but I'm going to be talking about the Office of Special Counsel in just a second because the truth is coming out about that, too. Thanks for checking in, Perrin.
Okay,
I got
and check out the Hatch Act. You can Google that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the act that could impeach all these clowns.
Let's hope it happens.
I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
21 past the hour. In regarding what Perrin was talking about there, in the LA Times today, article by Tom Hamburger, Times staff writer. He's writing about an obscure federal investigative unit known as the Office of Special Counsel, which normally confines itself to monitoring the activities of low-level government employees. Well, guess what? It is the Office of Special Counsel is, according to the LA Times, preparing to jump into one of the most sensitive and potentially explosive issues in Washington, launching a broad investigation into key elements of the White House political operation that for more than 6 years has been headed by Chief Strategist Karl Rove. LA Times goes on to say the new investigation, which will examine the firing of at least one U.S. attorney, missing White House emails, and White House efforts to keep presidential appointees attuned to Republican political priorities, could create a substantial new problem for the Bush White House. Scott Block, head of the Office of Special Counsel and a presidential appointee, said in an interview yesterday, quote, "We will take the evidence where it leads us. We will not leave any stone unturned." Unquote. Block said the probe would be independent and uncoordinated with any other agency or government entity. "I will sit here now and tell you this pig bastard is lying through his teeth." And here's why. On June 26, 2003, Bush nominated Scott Block for the position of special counsel at the U.S. Office of Special Counsel. U.S. Senate unanimously confirmed him December 9, 2003. He was sworn in January 5, 2004 to serve a five-year term. From 2001 to 2003, Block served as associate director and then deputy director and counsel to the Task Force for Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, the U.S. Department of Justice, blah, blah, blah. Google him if you want more information. And then Jason Leopold writing today at Truthout. A federal investigation into the activities of Karl Rove announced late Monday is being headed by a Bush appointee who is currently the target of an internal White House probe. Block is calling into question, Jason Leopold writes, the integrity of the administration's efforts to conduct an independent review of Rove's work as White House political advisor. Let me digress. Does anybody out there, let me see a show of hands, does anybody out there believe that this half-witted Bush thug is going to investigate Karl Rove? Oh, good God! Jason Leopold goes on to say, and now listen to Scott Block, who heads the Office of Special Counsel, told the LA Times Monday that his office will launch a wide-ranging investigation into Rove's involvement in the firing of eight U.S. attorneys, his behind-the-scenes work to influence elections, and his use of a Republican National Committee email account to conduct official White House business in what appears to be a violation of the Presidential Records Act. However, the LA Times failed to inform its readers that Scott J. Block has been accused of retaliating against employees who disagreed with his policies and intimidating them before they were questioned about a whistleblower investigation inside the Office of Special Counsel. The whistleblower probe was launched by the White House's Office of Personnel Management Inspector General nearly 2 years ago, according to a February 16, 2007, that's last month, story in the Washington Post. Block vehemently denied the allegations at the time. On Tuesday, that's today, a spokesman in his office, reiterated Block's position, insisted that the special counsel would still be able to conduct an independent review of Rove's work for the past 6 years, regardless of the accusations against the special counsel. Oh, my God. You see how this works? You see the L.A. Times? Mr. Hamburger at the L.A. Times? If Jason Leopold at Truthout has this information, why doesn't Tom Hamburger at the L.A. Times have this information? He does have the information. But he doesn't include it. The L.A. Times does not include it. That Block himself is being investigated by another White House operation. Jesus, do you understand this? Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, that's the crew, said Block's own questionable behavior as special counsel makes him the, quote, wrong choice, end quote, to investigate Rove. Sloan said, quote, having transformed the Office of Special Counsel into a virtual black hole for legitimate complaints of retaliation, Block is decidedly not the right person to tackle the issues of misconduct and illegality that surround top White House officials. Good God!
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's just incredible to me. The lack of concern or the payoffs or the complicity or the co-conspiratorial nature of the news media with this filthy Bush crime family, this Bush administration. And if it were not for organizations like the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or for writers like Jason Leopold or Seymour Hersh, you know who the writers are, who dig and dig and dig and probe and push until they finally get the truth. Jason Leopold was pilloried a few months back because he and Truthout wrote an article after deep research that Karl Rove had been indicted. And when the indictment was not made public, oh, my Christ, they fell on Jason Leopold like a pack of hungry dogs. I've had him on the program. I haven't had him on, I don't think, since I've been on Air America, but back years ago at IE America, he was a guest once. I have deep respect for Jason Leopold and his work, and I believe to this day, to this minute, that Karl Rove was indicted. It was a sealed indictment, and it won't be open until this rat pig bastard is out of office. But Jason Leopold, one of the people upon whom I do rely to tell the truth, to get the truth out, and you can find this at truthout.org, Jason Leopold, Rove investigator himself under investigation. But when you become aware of that level of cynicism, and this guy Block is an anti-gay activist. He worked diligently to make employees in I believe in the Office of Special Counsel to deny them not spousal rights, but partnership rights. This guy is a Christian fanatic. And that's like saying a Muslim fanatic or a Jewish fanatic. I'm not picking on the Christians, although they certainly deserve it. But he's one of these dominionist Christian just freakouts, absolute nutball. And he's going to investigate Karl Rove. Are you kidding me? Do you know who got this rat bastard his job? Yeah, Karl Rove! But the LA Times and CNN and MSNBC and whoever the hell else is reporting this story, they don't tell us this. So that we sit back and say, oh, well, okay, guess what? Goody, goody, goody. The Office of Special Counsel is going to be investigating Karl Rove. Oh, goody, goody. Everything's going to be okay. And everybody in mainstream media who understands what's going on just sits back on their well-paid asses and chuckles and laughs. Ha ha, dumb Americans. No, nothing's going to happen. One more cover-up. One more whisk under the rug. So to truthout.org and Jason Leopold and Seymour Hersh and the list goes on, Greg Palast. The list goes on and on of writers who refuse to become whores. And they continue to dig out this filthy truth. In the meantime, the high-paid multi-million-dollar anchors and blow-dried, fluffy-looking males and females that sit on these cable news channels all day long and fill the American airwaves full of distortions and half-truths and nonsense and garbage. And then you couple that with right-wing talk radio that, yes, does dominate the airwaves, filling the airwaves with more garbage and lies and distortions. How in the hell are people supposed to be able to make an informed choice about anything? That's why we are where we are. Having transformed the Office of the Special Counsel into a virtual black hole for legitimate complaints of retaliation, Block is decidedly not the right person to tackle the issue of misconduct and illegality that surround top White House officials. There is a serious question as to whether Block will just provide cover for an administration that has been covering for him. Quote, unquote, Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. My God. The level of criminality is surpassed in this administration only by the level of cynicism. They just constantly, with their left hand, they gouge us in the eye. With their right hand, they give us the finger. Over and over and over and over again. And they're whores and prostitutes, no offense to sex workers, in media who do this constantly, constantly, whether it is a piglet like Sean Hannity or a vomitous monster like Rush Limbaugh or these blow-dried anchors and anchorettes. It's just difficult for a nice American boy like me to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Back to your phone calls. To Sanchez, who's calling from L.A. Sanchez, hello.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing.
I'm glad that you apologized to the sex workers there. I think you would have offended a lot of people by associating them with those prostitutes.
Well, I always say that. I always say that. You know, a sex worker is a sex worker is a sex worker. And when I use the term, you know, whore and prostitute, I mean it on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a corruption of language and the so-called oldest profession. But what am I going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly, man.
So I just apologize.
That's yeah. Well, good for that. I'm glad that you did. Hey, on the issue of Dennis Kucinich here, that he was a busy man today. He was sitting in with the hearings of the Pat Tillman hearings and asking some very good questions there. And then later he had his news conference where he announced that he was filing the articles of impeachment. And you know that. On any other day, with all the crap that we've been enduring, today would have been a happy day for us, and it usually was. But you were correct; nobody covered it in the news media. But here in Los Angeles, I want to give you just a quick item here about what happened on Progressive Talk Radio here in Los Angeles.
Okay,
one of our local hosts, he was filling in for a national host. Sure, I won't mention who it is, But I had email to go like, hey, are you going to mention that Kucinich filed the articles of impeachment or not? And when he finally did, normally he doesn't mention Kucinich at all, but when he did, he mentioned, well, what would be the point? You talk about levels of cynicism in government. What about the levels of cynicism in progressive radio? He was talking about, well, look at the lack of time that it would take even if you fast-tracked the impeachment. There would only be 1 or 2 months left in the entire administration. And as one of your emailers correctly pointed out, impeachment does not mean removal. So he's saying, like, why tie up resources? Well, you know, whatever happened to accountability to us and the rest of the world? This is our government, and these people are supposed to be answering to us, Mike. What about that?
Well, there is that, and there is also this. It is not, and I've mentioned this in the program, it's not whether or not Dennis Kucinich wants to, or Harry Reid wants to, or doesn't want to, or Nancy Pelosi. What matters here, I think, and I'm beginning to think that I am just a wild-eyed jackass, fantasy-driven liberal. What matters here is what the Constitution says.
Yes.
It's not a choice. It is there. It is written down. For Christ's sake, it's in the original documents. This is what is to happen when there is suspicion of high crimes and misdemeanors. File charges against the bastards and let the Senate decide.
Say it, brother.
It has nothing to do with any of us. I applaud Dennis Kucinich's courage in doing this, and it disgusts me to see Pelosi and Reid say it's off the table. It disgusts me.
I know. I actually, not with this particular guy today, but I've actually locked horns with other progressive talk radio hosts in L.A. who are just saying, like, hey, you know, why bother with this? Because, of course, it is the Constitution, man.
Yeah.
I don't get this. So, you know, I'm going to be talking this up, and it's going to sound like a very old and worn-out record by the time this administration is over with, because this needs to be done, not only for us who are still living, but for the 3,300 American soldiers who have died for Dick Cheney and George Bush here. We need to do it for them, in their memory, in their honor, as well as the Iraqi people, all the people that have died all over the world as a result of these people. My God, can we, these people, get a grip?
I hear you, Sanchez. Thanks for checking in.
Sure thing.
I hear you. Appreciate what you had to say. And keep in mind, I shouldn't do this. This is really, unnecessary to say it, but I'll say it anyway. Keep in mind why Bill Clinton was impeached. For possibly, allegedly, maybe lying about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky. And these filthy sons of bitchin' Republicans impeached him and took him to trial over that. And look what Bush and Cheney have done. Good God.
I got something to say, and I thought it might be worth a mention. If you're not pissed off at the world, then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day, but just 'cause you don't see it, it don't mean it's gone away.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the usual crew of highwaymen and bandits who produced this program tonight. Ian Huff in Phoenix, who answered your calls and engineered the whole thing. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, and the moderators at my website at the message board who keep that hopping. And also Catherine Bay, our executive producer. And thanks to me for sitting here and I'm going to start thanking me, Kathy. And thanks to Molly for staying asleep.
How very 70s NRA of you.
I know.
Will you burn your bra?
John Neems, our musician friend from Las Vegas, the piano tuner. The piano tuner. Hey, I'm the piano tuner.
Did I say NRA? I meant ERA.
I know what you
I am so tired.
I know what you meant. John writes, I just watched Kevin Tillman, and in his testimony, he says that the guy who shot Pat Tillman was only 35 meters away and should have easily seen that his brother was waving his arms at the guy to tell him he was a friendly, and yet the shots were fired anyway. Does that not sound like a deliberate murder? Well, John, it does. When I heard the testimony, you're obviously watching the replay of it on C-SPAN 3. When I saw that this morning, the live testimony, I thought to myself, all right, 35 meters, that's not far. that's from my front porch up to the road. Not even that. I mean, my God, halfway. Well, no, I guess up to the road. That was the first thought I had. Now, I know there's some conspiracy theories going around that Pat Tillman was deliberately targeted because he would have more value as a dead hero than a live soldier who is starting to realize that maybe the Bush crime family was taking the nation in the wrong direction. Huh? Can't let that happen. So, I where it concerns 9/11 and the attack on this country, I don't know. I used to think I knew things. I used to think I could listen to people smarter than me who had more resources than I. That would be media. That would be newspaper this and television that and radio over there and draw some conclusions and arrive at some truths. And now I realize that's not the case at all. That there is... The major conspiracy in this country is to make us forget and keep us ignorant. That's all. That's all it takes. Just make us forget and keep us ignorant. As far as what happened to Pat Tillman, really, really, really happened to Pat Tillman? What really, really, really happened to Jessica Lynch? What really, really happened to the trade towers in the Pentagon and a field in Pennsylvania on September 11, 2001? Do you suppose, John, or anybody, that we're ever going to get the truth from this corrupted, filthy corporate media that dominates everything? The answer, quickly, no. Hell no. So you have to dig, John. And I have to dig, and everybody has to dig. Or we go to the people like Josh Marshall, or Jason Leopold, or Greg Palast, or Seymour Hirsch, there are 20, 30, 40 of these writers. I'm sorry I'm not mentioning them all. Who do the digging, who come up with the truth and put it out there. And where do they put it? They don't put it in the New York Times. New York Times won't hire them. Washington Post won't hire them. Time Magazine won't hire them. So they go to an even better source, a bigger audience. They put it on the Internet. And do you think these people are making any money for the most part? Most of them? Hell no. So, John in Las Vegas, yeah, I question the report too. 35 meters, Christ, I can spit that far. I don't know. It just gets very, very, very weird, doesn't it? I mean, do you get this sense? I'll tell you. I'm. Thank God we're almost out of time here, because I'd go off on a rant. I'm having a hard time keeping my head on straight. And I've got to. Jesus, I've got an almost 3-year-old. What do you have, huh? You got a spouse, you got a husband, a wife, kids, grandkids? Huh? You got to keep your head on straight too. It's getting hard, isn't it? Huh? It's getting so difficult to every single day wade through this. Don't you hope? This is my hope. Do you share this hope? I hope I can live long enough to see this country start to get back to some kind of normalcy, to get this country out of the hands of these murderers, these psychopaths that now run it, to see the journalism classes start turning out real writers and investigative reporters, to see television be consigned to the garbage junk heap of history that it belongs as just a form of just mindless, papish entertainment that has no value whatsoever. Don't you hope you live long enough to see that happen? To see responsible people who understand the science of all this help us get a handle on how not to turn this planet into a burned-out cinder? I mean, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? Don't you hope you live long enough to see that? Just to see it begin? I'm sorry. What a bummer to leave an audience with right before Betty Bye time, huh? I forgot. I know what the problem is, Kathy. I did not get my 11 o'clock Eastern time glass of wine tonight, so I'm going to have to go get a glass of wine now and calm down. Maybe I'll go out on the back porch here and stare at Fairy Woodland's fairy house they sent me and try to imagine what it'd be like to be 5 inches tall and have wings on my back. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.